Get out. Get out.
That's right. It's time for a segment we haven't done for a while.
Oh boy.
As you can see in the logo, and as you can tell by the intro music by Stoddard Blackall. Again, that's stoddardblackall.com for all of your Stoddard Blackall needs. He does all the music for the show. Very talented comedian, musician, and good friend. None of that works or rhymes for the show. But miss him, love him, and hopefully we'll be doing a conference with him soon. That would be cool if we can Skype him in. Or whatever, or if we can, if he's going to be in this part of the woods, we'll see. But really talented guy, and check him out, and his podcast as well. But we're here to geek out, as the intro says, and we're geeking out about something that we've geeked out about in the past with Stoddard Blackall. He's a big horror movie fan as well.
Sweet.
I am not. We're doing horror movies again, but this time, I mean, I talked about I would geek out with people about horror movies that we both liked. But this is the first time I've ever really said I don't really like horror movies. And it's not because I hate them or think they're bad. I just don't like the feeling of being horrified. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't like that feeling when I go to the movies. I don't like feeling scared or negative or worried for my life or other people's lives for a two-hour period. That for me, that's like that sounds like torture. But before we get into that, it's not torture for some people. It's like going on a ride. It's like when you ride a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. So I can see that side too.
Adrenaline.
That's the side you're on, is like you like the rush you get from it. And I get that when I watch action movies or thrillers, I'm the same way. Mm-hmm. So I get that. I'm going to try and get inside your head about it. And maybe we can get inside my head about it, why I don't like them, and we can figure out what the hell's going on.
That's fair.
So follow our tweets at Team Awesome Inc., like the Facebook page, download and subscribe for free. On Stitcher Podcast Radio, iTunes, or any other shit that we do. But this isn't necessarily a nerd update or anything. I mean, it's nerdy. We're going to talk about horror movies, but we're mainly just going to go into the psychology behind why people like horror movies, mm-hmm. and we're just going to, and why people like me don't. So you're literally going to get a 50-50, like why people love it, why people hate it, and we'll try and figure out where the fuck we are in between.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Break it down. Horror movies. People have been enthralled by the movies ever since the first moving image. And people have been scared by the first moving image as well. I remember images of people at home watching TV and a locomotive was coming at them and they would duck down to hide from it because they weren't going to get hit by it. They did that in movie theaters too when there was the first moving image. Wow. So people have always been kind of scared and fascinated by movies, mm-hmm. and so it just makes sense to take something like a horrifying, horrible experience and putting it in front of people and entertaining them with it. If you can do it with drama, if you can do it with comedy, why not terror? Why not scare your audience and you know, people like it. I mean, it's like riding a roller coaster. I can see that. But I don't like going to Six Flags every day. I don't like going to Six Flags once a week. I go to Six Flags like maybe once a year, maybe once every 2 years. And when I'm there, I like the rides. But then I can't do it. I'm a ticker. But that's a really intense adrenaline thing.
Mm-hmm.
Horror movies can be that intense and they can trigger a lot of those same emotions. But they do it in a much more psychological way. They can't rely on physically moving your body from one end of a roller coaster to another.
Mm-hmm.
They have to do it with drama, with music, with lighting, with different angles that throw you off and make you feel disoriented. Like, look at The Shining. Stanley Kubrick mm-hmm. was, like, getting really low angles and really fucking dramatic shit. That's a horror movie I love, and I think transcends being a horror movie into being just a good movie. The Shining, although considered a horror movie by many, I think it's just a well-done film
mm-hmm.
that has to deal with horror in a very artistic way. That's how I view The Shining. But why? Okay, so that's where I'm at with horror. Is like I genuinely feel like it's just people being fascinated with these terrifying things. It's like it's like you get to sit back and watch it happen, but it doesn't happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, to me, that's like a fucked up thing. It's like Schadenfreude. I'm like, I know they're fictional characters, but I feel bad for them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I'm sitting there like, I want them to not die, but they're all dying. That sucks.
Yeah.
Like, why am I watching this? It's making, that's where I get to with it. Mm-hmm. Why do you keep going back? Like, why are you such a fan? I'm fascinated by people who are fascinated by horror movies. Because you're like, can you explain why you keep coming back to it? Like for you, why is that? Why are you, how are you able to transcend that?
Well, I think, so ever since I was little, I have been fascinated by, the best way I can describe it is subcultures.
Oh, okay, right.
Like,
yeah, I hear you. Like punk rock or
yeah,
or indie or whatever you
want to
call it.
Goth subculture.
Yeah, goth
stuff
big
like
time,
that.
Yeah, horror movie fans tend to be into the goth subcultures and,
yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
Into the grunge industrial scene a little as well.
And also really into history and folklore.
True.
So
yeah, and yeah, steampunk is a thing that comes up a lot for horror movie
steampunk.
Fans. They like the steampunk. I think it's a cool aesthetic.
So I
can't wear
love,
a vest every day though.
And a lot of people
when
they say I love horror movies.
Yeah, what do you think they mean by that? When they say they love horror movies, do you think they love the excitement of sitting in a theater with other people and being scared?
Well, because
that's fun. When
that's fun.
Like, I get that. Like, I've seen Paranormal Activity, I think 5 or 7 or I can't remember. I saw 2 of them in the theaters, and it was fun. I understood why people kept seeing them in movie theaters, because
mm-hmm.
you're sitting with an audience. It's like one of the opening nights for this horror movie. Everyone's like, oh, it's going to be spooky.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to get scared. And everyone's really excited. And there's
mm-hmm.
there's energy and buzz. And that's fun.
That is. Because
then you're around everybody
mm-hmm.
and you're all being scared. And you know, people are going, oh, my God. And then you get into it. But when it's been out for a while and you go see it and the theater's kind of empty, it's not as enthralling. You're
mm-hmm.
like, where is everybody? It's not as entertaining, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I guess it adds to the haunted house element.
Yeah, and I feel like I was listening to something the other day that actually explained this feeling really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between the fear that you feel when you're on a roller coaster or
yeah.
when you're watching a horror movie and real true fear.
Yeah, real terror is not good. It's it makes you feel sick to your stomach. Real
yeah.
terror is you know it when you feel it. Horror movies are just
yeah.
playing with
you
that
know,
idea.
You know, in 2 hours this is going to be over. I'm safe. It wasn't real. It no matter how fucked up the horror movie, you might get kind of like jumpy for a couple days after seeing a really good effective horror film.
Yeah, like
but at the end of
the
day,
The Ring did that to me.
Yeah,
me
too.
When I saw The Ring, I was like, fuck this shit. No.
But at the end of the day, it's gonna go away. So I feel like you get that adrenaline and you get that you get that sense of like in haunted houses, when my initial response is they jump out, I jump, I scream, and then I laugh.
Right.
Because that was fun.
Right.
So it's the same thing with horror movies.
Right. I get it. I mean, I get why you would want to do that on occasion. But people who are... And we're talking about the... Like, you're almost a... Like, you're wearing a Freddy Krueger t-shirt.
I am.
I mean, like, you're a diehard horror movie fan, so you're always about this shit. Like, you're always about... And I'm not saying shit to be... I mean, I consider Star Wars shit to a degree.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just my shit. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's my shit. It's horror movies are your shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So when when I see someone like that, I'm like... With me, Star Wars has different elements. It's lighthearted, it's fun,
mm-hmm.
it's fantasy, it's escapism. For you, horror movies escapism, but instead of going like to Alice in Wonderland, you're going to like hell. Or
well, also
not
I,
hell, but like you're going to like a twisted version of that.
Yeah.
You're going to like, I don't know, Pennywise's nightmares. Like, I don't know. Ugh, I don't want to go there. That's horrible.
Well, there's also
his nightmares are normal. Like his nightmares are like having a normal 9-to-5. It's
yeah.
like, oh my God, this is hell.
I feel like there's a difference between horror movie fans and people who have really made horror a lifestyle.
Mm.
Like, I like to think I have to an extent, because I don't just like horror movies. Like, I like...
You like things associated with the goth kind of thing.
Yeah.
But goth isn't necessarily horror.
No.
But you like
but
the horror.
I like,
you do. You're down with that.
You know, Bram Stoker, Anne Rice, you know, I yeah. like when vampires, we say, I like werewolves. Yeah, yeah. I like,
don't get it twisted, guys. When we say she's into horror, she's into like H.P. Lovecraft. She's into Stephen King. She's mm-hmm. into, I mean, like, you know, like every type of horror you can think of. She's like, into the good shit.
My dream vacation is to go to New Orleans and go on the voodoo tours, yeah. the vampire tours, the ghost tours. Yep. Like,
interview
I just like
shit.
All things yep. creepy, yep. not just horror movies. So I feel like there's people who are like, yeah, I like horror movies. I can watch a horror movie, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then there are people who are like, I love everything horror.
Yes. And you're one of those people. You're everything horror. People. You like Shaun of the Dead? Yes.
Which is
Shining?
Funny.
Yes. Even zombie strippers? Yes.
Yeah, even zombie strippers.
The lamest of the lame,
but
the best of the best.
What surprises people about me and my love of horror is that I don't like gore.
Yeah. Then I was going to talk to you about that. Where do you fall on movies like Saw and Hostel and Human Centipede, the sort of gore porn ones where they're like, it's really just gory. I mean, I think there's an art to it. I don't like them. Like, but again, I'm not big on horror.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's an art to making a special effect look effective.
Oh,
if you're
absolutely.
Able to look at basically latex, rubber, corn syrup, if you're able to look at that and get a guttural response, be like, oh, that looks like, oh, I feel like my arm's breaking. And it's literally just twigs that have been colored. It's syrup, some rubber.
No special effects.
And that's all
effects.
It is. That's all it is. If you took the coloring away, it would just be like chemicals.
Yeah,
that,
no.
And people were like, oh, my God, that... But it's so effective. I think there's an art to that, to pulling that off.
Yeah.
And to making it look effective. Even when you watch a B-movie... like they know their effects aren't that great, so they'll give you a quick shot of like a fake arm breaking, like, ow, and you feel it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that can be cool if done effectively, but in a bad movie you're like, that looks fake as shit, man.
Yeah, well, but even in really good movies, like, I know, and I saw the first Saw movie,
yeah,
I couldn't get past the gore. Yeah, it was a good movie.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, like, isn't that a part of all the horror movie aspects, though? Like, even the Saw Hostel movies wouldn't... But, like, you draw the line there.
I refuse to watch Hostel.
Yeah, you draw the line. You say, fuck this. No, I'm not going there.
I don't like gore for the sake of gore. I don't like gore for shock value.
I'm not arguing this point,
mm-hmm.
but there are a lot of people who would say that the gore in these movies is a part of the storytelling, and that the movies are only effective if they get that extreme with this stuff. And like, that's the whole point of this style of movie, is that it's trying to make you feel the way that you're feeling, really uncomfortable. And isn't that fucked up? It's like that we want to be entertained that way.
Well, yeah.
And that's what it's trying to do. And if you're into that, you'll come back for more. If you're not, no thank you.
No, exactly.
But it's like, Jesus Christ, it's like even you draw the line with some horror movies.
Well,
and I think that's pretty, that shows that there's a lot of talent out there.
There
because
is.
If they're able to make fake shit look real, they're doing a good job, and maybe they should be getting more rewards, accolades. Maybe they should be appreciated more for
but
what they do.
Also,
I never thought of it that way.
They
made a William Shatner mask look scary. They made a William Shatner mask look, granted it was dead-eyed, but it looked scary.
Aside from the fact that I don't like, I mean, blood, I've never been affected by blood. Like, that stuff, it doesn't make me sick.
Well, it's in horror movies all the time. It's like, it's a given. It's a slasher. There's going to be blood. There will be blood.
I want to be scared when I watch a horror movie.
Yeah.
Horror movies that depend on gore lots of times aren't scary. They're not scary. They're just gross.
They can be.
So,
I can see that. I mean, I saw
like,
the first
I'll
Saw movie.
And I'll, like,
but you have
go.
To admit, the first Saw movie was very well done. It was very effective. I didn't feel like it was gore for the sake of the first one. I felt like it was... I feel like the ones after that were just derivative of the first. It was just kind of like... It's the same thing. It's just they're switching around the ingredients.
Well, they're playing...
It's the same shit.
Every movie after the first one, they were depending on shock value. They wanted to...
But the first
get
one
bigger and,
was
and
so shocking. The concept of it was mm-hmm. so... Like a killer who doesn't... He doesn't really kill anybody. He does. I mean, if not for him, they wouldn't be in that scenario where they could face death. So he is kind of the puppet master of their demise if they do die. But at the same time, all they got to do... is chop like a finger off or something. And I'm not saying that's all they have to do, but when faced with like mortality and the way to get out of it is you got to pull out a tooth or you got, you know, it's like, dude, fuck it. Go. I got to live. It's like, I don't give a shit. Like, you want me to bleed? I'll bleed. Fuck it. I got to go home. I got to get out of here. I got to go to therapy. You're fucking my head up, man.
No, but it's funny that you say
I'll
that.
I'll never sleep again.
or that we're talking about, like, the progression of the shock in the Saw movies.
Which is funny, because, like, I like the Saw movie, the first one, but you're not so big on that franchise, but you're a horror movie fan.
Yeah.
I think that's fascinating. But it just shows how versatile the industry is.
Something else we were talking about, I'm just going to go ahead and give it a name. I like to call the Saw franchise, they have M. Night Shyamalan syndrome.
Oh, because you mean like, because then they always flash back to when Jigsaw was hanging out with some other guy.
No, not because of that. Because M. Night Shyamalan got famous because of his twists, so now he has to depend on his twists.
What are the,
Saw
oh,
got
like
famous
the first
because
one.
Of the traps.
Yeah, because
Jigsaw. So now they have to get depend on the traps, and they have to be bigger, and they have to be grosser, and they have to be more
spoiler.
Like
spoiler for the first Saw movie. If you haven't seen it, what the fuck is wrong with you? So this is a horror movie podcast thing, basically, right now. So like, go be familiar with it. We don't want to ruin it. But in the first Saw movie, Jigsaw is lying down in the main scene that we're at the whole time. He's lying there the whole time pretending to be the dead body. And then when they get to the end and one of the guys is dead and it's just the other guy left and he sawed through the shit to survive. They like, and he crawls away. You see that Jigsaw gets up and he's been there the whole time and you're like, oh shit, it's him. And he says, hey, game over. And he slams the door. So that was like one of the big twists was that it wasn't the guy from Lost the whole time. You thought it was the dude from Lost. What is his name? What was his name?
I don't remember.
The creepy guy from Lost?
Yeah,
he was
I don't remember.
He
I didn't
turned out
really
to be a good
Lost.
Guy at the end or whatever, but he was just weird. Yeah, and he turned out to be not the villain. You thought he was the bad guy in the movie, and then the twist was he was lying there the whole time listening to them and just, you know, in Tobin Bell's character. And they've brought him back subsequently since then. But it's interesting because now that's turned into a whole franchise. As well as Paranormal Activity. And now, like, what do you think about that as a horror movie fan? I mean, you kind of came up with these sort of episodic saga franchise horror movies where, like, they kind of... I didn't really... I mean, I grew up in, like, late 90s, early 2000s, where it was like, I Know What You Did Last Summer, Scream. God, what else? Urban Legend, Final Destination... All those movies, those were I had slasher movies, and then we had Freddy versus Jason, which was like a throwback, which was cool. But it was kind of, that's what I had growing up with as far as horror movies were concerned. I'm like, well, where's the killer? Where's the slasher? Like, where's the guy that's supposed to go around and kill everyone?
See, this is
it's a ghost? That's cool. That's fucking cool.
This is going to surprise you. I saw every single Final Destination movie.
Oh, really?
Because the concept was
the
so interesting.
One. Yeah, it's a cool idea.
Like, yeah, I had a hard time watching them.
You can't skip death.
Because of the gore, but the concept was so interesting
me. It's like a Rube Goldberg device in which death uses to kill people. It's like it's like the butterfly effect almost. Like you bump into a door, which knocks over a bucket. It's like Mousetrap.
Yeah.
And an old man dives into the pool. The thing comes down. Ah, Mousetrap. I'm dead. That's what Final Destination was like.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. It was really effective. The guy from Idle Hands. Remember Idle Hands?
Yeah.
That was I know it wasn't really a horror movie. It kind of was. It was like Shaun of the Dead before Shaun of the Dead. Mm-hmm. I think if Idle Hands came out now, it would be more successful than when it came out.
Yeah.
I think we need something like that. Like comedic horror movie, escapism. Like, yeah, things are horrifying, but it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not that bad. It's just funny.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be worried. Everyone's dying, but it's kind of funny, right? Oh, God.
Like,
oh
I've
God.
Spent most of this time talk saying that I don't, you know, I don't really like gore.
Yes, you have been talk saying that you haven't liked gore.
Sorry.
I love that. No, don't. That's are you kidding? That's an amazing term. Talk saying?
But that doesn't mean that I don't like slasher movies.
Oh, yeah. No, I hear you. No, slasher movies are different. They're like a whodunit.
Yeah, and as a horror movie fan, you can't be a horror movie fan without having a huge amount of respect for classic slasher movies and classic horror movies.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
But also at the same, like, for their time, they were really innovative, and they do still stand up today. A lot of them do, but like I go back and I watch Freddy and I watch Jason and I watch, you know,
Michael Myers,
and
Michael
just
Myers was the first, right? Wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, just
Halloween?
Because of the time that it came out, the gore in those movies is almost comical.
Yeah, it can be.
And I
times,
feel like a lot of slasher films tend to lean towards the comical side.
It's like the spoonful of sugar that makes the medicine go down.
Yeah.
It's for people like me who don't necessarily like horror movies, but we're sitting there and we're trying to enjoy it. It's like they got to write these comedic beats to lighten the mood, because mm-hmm. otherwise it's just so fucking heavy. It's just always miserable.
Yeah.
But now they're kind of relying a little too heavily on the, I'm calling it the Disney Marvel like sort of thing, where it's like, hey, we're going to have a dramatic moment. We're going to have a really sad moment or a really scary moment, and it's going to seem like, you know, we're going to let that moment sit for a while, and then after it sits for a while, someone's going to make a fart noise, or there's going to be, like, someone's going to do a pratfall, slip on a banana, someone's going to make a bad joke, like a dad joke or something. Be like someone, like, it's a really dramatic moment where someone's frozen to stone or whatever, and it's just like, I don't know, they say a bad pun like, well, it was the ice to meet him, wasn't it? You know, and you're like, ah, oh, fucking goddamn it. Like, I see you later, or something, something lame. And you're like, what the fuck? And it's like Marvel Disney always does that, because it helps. It's like if people are like, oh, this is a lame dramatic moment, then there's a comedic moment that follows it that kind of makes it okay.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, all right, it was kind of lame, but it was funny.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not saying that's a cheat move. I'm just saying that works for them when they do it in their movies.
Yeah.
Not for other movies. Mm-hmm. Horror movies don't need to have the Disney Marvel aw shucks motto. They need to stay in their own kind of wheelhouse and be fucked up and stay fucked up. And I appreciate them lightening the mood, but I'm not a horror movie fan. But if I go see horror, I don't want you to lighten the load with like these dumb little like laugh moments that kind of take me out of what I'm supposed to be feeling.
Yeah.
I want to feel that shit. I want to feel horrified. I don't want to be like, oh, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
I want to be like, yeah, it's bad. This is serious. It's a horror movie. Like, this is, people are dying. We should not laugh. But let's have fun, but let's not have too much fun. This is a horror movie, damn it. I want
to
be scared.
I tend to lean towards movies that people don't actually like generally.
Right.
Like, I loved It Follows.
It Follows, I've heard really good things about. I haven't seen it. It sounds like an original idea. It's a metaphor for STD, basically.
Kind of. I haven't actually looked into the history of the movie and whether that was actually what it was intended to be. You know what I mean?
I think it's a great metaphor for it, though. It really is. I mean, it follows. Like, if you can explain the plot better. You've seen it. But from what I recall, it's the lady who, she has sex with a guy and he passes on, like, a killer thing.
Yes,
like
and this also touches into how we were talking about some of the scariest horror movie villains or the things that you can't see, like in Final Destination. Yes. They're chasing death. They don't show you death. You can't see it.
Death is very much in this other realm that we don't see that's manipulating things, and that's scary.
Whereas Freddy, Jason, they're physical. You can touch them. You can fight against it in a sense.
Even Freddy, he's tangible in the dream world, but you can even pull him out. Like, at the end of every Freddy movie, we were joking around about this the other day. It's like, at the end of every movie, they always say, well, how do we defeat him? Let's pull him in the real world.
Yeah.
Okay, but, and then they do, and they kill him in the real world, but then he comes back every time, so it's like he's a dream demon.
But It Follows was so unsettling because it was so simple.
Yes.
Basically, the plot was this girl goes on a date with this guy. They have sex. He says, it's going to follow you now.
He ties her up in like a lawn chair or something, and then he unties her. And so I saw that in the trailer.
Yeah, so basically, you have sex with someone, it attaches to them, and if it kills that person, it goes back to the original host.
Oh.
So you have to keep passing it along.
So you got to keep banging other people and just passing the It Follows monster around. And so that is kind of like a metaphor for STDs. That's fucked up. Why is it sex, though? I guess it's like, don't have sex, kids.
But it's
don't have
so
sex.
Because
you'll
die. They said it can look like anyone.
Right.
It's always a person. It can look like anyone. It can look like someone you know, and it's always walking.
But no one else can see it.
No one else can see it, no.
But you.
And it's always walking, which is because you'd think you'd be able to outrun it. But it also just appears out of nowhere.
Well, wasn't
and
there? I remember seeing a moment in the movie where it was a clip they were showing, and it was towards the end where she's in a pool, and they're like, "Where is it? Where is it?" And he's holding a gun up, and he's like, "Where is it?" And they're like, "It's right there, shoot!" And and it was a fucked up moment because imagine that thing is chasing you, and you can't get it to stop, and your friends want to help, but
they
can't
see
it, but it's killing you, and then you're like, "Am I crazy?" And they're like, "I think it's there." And like that's to me, that's a really scary thing where it's like we're real people trying to deal with a really fucked up thing.
Yeah.
That is unearthly, inhuman. How do we fight that? And we can't. Like we got a gun, but we can't see it. How do we kill this fucking thing?
It was, and there are so many subgenres in horror, and this one was way more of a psychological thriller because I wasn't actually scared when I was watching it. I was uncomfortable.
Right.
It made me feel incredibly unsettled.
Well, yeah, it's like it's almost like playing with the idea of some tragedy, personal thing you're dealing with. Not even tragedy, but personal sadness that is always with you and you can't escape it, but now it's manifesting as some real monster.
Yeah.
And that's even scarier.
And there's that something to be said about good filmmaking. A lot of people didn't like it because they said it was slow.
Right. I haven't seen it. Again, I got to see this movie. I've heard you've brought it up multiple times. That's really cool, actually.
It's very, very good.
Like I've heard good things, and I've also heard bad things. Like, you could just keep running from it and then bang someone and tell them the same thing, and then it's like, whatever, and then bang someone, tell them the same thing. Yeah. I'm like, well, I guess you could. It's like, how do you escape it? You just keep walking away, and then it gets tired. It has to take a nap because it follows, but it doesn't say it follows forever. It probably needs a nap. It needs a rest.
It needs a
rest. Its legs hurt. It follows. Wait, what if it follows is what Pennywise does when he takes a break from being Pennywise?
Ah, maybe.
And he just follows people.
Follows. Watches them.
That would be amazing if that was some sort of weird parallel.
So Pennywise is a perv too?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, when he's done being a clown, he's done entertaining. He's like, oh, I'm not a clown anymore. I'm going to go have sex with people. And then follow them around and stalk them. Creepy Pennywise. It follows. Come on, that's Pennywise. What is it, Pennywise? We figured it out. But go check that movie out.
Yeah.
Check out It and It Follows. Good horror movies. Yeah. I haven't seen It Follows, but Vanessa recommends it highly. And it's an original idea, too. That's another thing. We've been talking about original ideas in Hollywood and how they sort of get brushed over. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a lot of original concepts for horror movies that people are like, ah, whatever, it's not a big blockbuster thing. I don't know. Like, maybe we should give these things more of a chance, but but that's the problem with horror movies. It's also hit or miss. That's the other thing.
It's incredibly hit or miss.
It's like, a really effective good one, like The Babadook. It's hard to find something like that because that is an amazing horror movie, and it's an original. And they're never going to do a sequel to it. The writer and director said, "I'm not doing another one." And they're not. They tried to get me to franchise it, and she's like, "I'm not doing it."
That's good.
She's
I'm
like, "Fuck
really
them."
Glad that they didn't.
She's
do
like,
it.
"It's a one-off. It's supposed to be a story. It's self-contained. It's supposed to like The Exorcist or whatever." And even though The Exorcist has like 12 sequels or fucking whatever prequels too, two prequels. Can
I
you believe
would
it?
Put It Follows up there with Babadook.
You know, I love The Babadook, and the concept for It Follows, if executed properly, I can see it being really effective and groundbreaking. So I want to check that out. But I guess like we should briefly touch. We should finish our thoughts on the gore porn thing. So where do you stand on actual Saw and Hostel movies and things like that? Because they are original ideas, but they are kind of relying heavily on the gore factor.
They are.
But and that's a part of. Some would say it's a part of the drama. It's a part of making it severe and real. But I haven't seen a lot of those movies lately.
Yeah, well, so
like except
you said,
except Human Centipede stuff.
You asked me like
I hate that shit.
How do you feel about
no offense
about movies where the gore is part of the storytelling?
I don't know.
That's
I thought
true
Saw
with Hostel.
The first Saw was good. I didn't see Hostel.
I don't want to see it either.
When I was in Europe, I stayed at some hostels, and you know, I didn't want to see the movie Hostel.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I stayed at some places like that.
Yeah.
And not places like that, but you know, like not where people. Good God, that'd be horrifying. But you know, you think, oh my God, that's something that could really happen to a person, and
it
you've
is,
heard
yeah.
horrible stories like that before. So I just didn't want to deal with that.
Well,
but I loved the first Saw. I thought it was really cool and a really good way of sort of teaching people a lesson in life. Like, all right, fine, you won't fucking figure shit out for yourself. I'm going to put you in a life or death scenario. Figure it out. What's more important to you, doing the right thing or dying?
Yeah.
Do the right thing. Do the right thing. I'll cut my leg off. Fuck it. Fuck it. I'll rip my tooth out. It's like, I didn't ask you to do any of that. Sorry, I jumped the gun. I just didn't want to die.
But with Hostel, the plot building is extreme
You're right.
With
it
the,
is.
The with the gore, extreme. They it, go hand in hand.
They so need they rely on it to tell. It's a mechanism for telling the story.
Yeah, if like you're going to use gore.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't want gore for the sake of gore. Gore but makes you, sense in
to
zombie
you it
movies.
Seems like
gore
that.
Makes sense in vampire movies.
I mean, I'm not trying to argue their point, but to you it feels that way. Whereas I would say all horror movies are relying on tragedy to be effective.
That's true.
Like you're like if you want to argue that point, you could say, well, horror movies are relying on death, murder, tragedy based on real life events or supernatural events that people can't control. They're relying on tragedy and murder and pain to turn a buck. In that sense, they're evil,
mm-hmm.
and they're wrong and they're bad and they shouldn't be made. But on the flip side, they're also cathartic because they're not real. You can watch it, you can get that sense of relief from it, and they're good. So you can argue both sides. You could say that they're really made mm-hmm. to help people in so much as they're made to fuck with people.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, it's just as entertaining as an action movie where people die. They're glorifying mm-hmm. violence. People are dying. People are being killed. People are, you know, being blown up. Those are action movies.
Mm-hmm.
And they make millions of dollars. Avengers, people die in those movies. They're comic book movies. People die.
Mm-hmm.
People are being murdered.
Yeah.
And it's fucking horrible. But they're turning a buck off of it. So at the end of the day, it's just fantasy. It's like playing a video game, you
mm-hmm.
know? You're just having fun, and it's orchestrated violence. It's a ballet. It's like mm-hmm. watching a dance. It's like a horror movie. It's like watching the dance of good versus evil. And in
yeah.
horror movies, the evil sometimes wins.
Mm-hmm.
But in life, evil sometimes wins. And I hate to
yeah.
use current events to demonstrate, but you know what I mean?
No, it's actually funny you brought that up because
Biff Tannen, anyone?
The last movie that I want to touch on is a really effective film called Megan Is Missing. And I won't go too in-depth into it, but it's a found footage movie.
You told me about this, and it sounds fucked up.
It is fucked up, because the creator of it used real stories of girls going missing
man.
After meeting strangers on the internet.
I don't like it.
To tell
I don't like it.
A horror.
This is why horror movies are awesome and shitty at the same
yeah.
time, because of how close to home they can touch you.
Yeah, and it was really effective.
Yes, it sounds horrible.
And hopefully
no.
some people learned a lesson after watching it.
Yes, please, God. Like the Hostel movies. Like maybe you shouldn't stay at a place you're not sure about.
Well,
if you got a bad vibe about it, don't
stay
there.
I mean, that
there.
Goes both ways, because Megan was like, don't meet people on the internet. Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Oh, no. Was his name Mike?
No.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah.
That's how we met.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, that's the thing. They want to, there's different sides of that. I mean, most of the time when you encounter, I mean, that's the thing. Horror movies are really great because they'll take an everyday scenario that, like, is normally fine. Like, let's say someone's trying to sell something. Like, they're trying to sell their car, and they go online on Craigslist. They put an ad out on Craigslist,
mm-hmm.
and they're a completely normal person. But they're worried about people being weirdos replying to them. Meanwhile, a guy is looking for a car, and he's going out, and he finds an ad. But he's worried that guy's a weirdo.
Mm-hmm.
So you got two completely normal, chill guys. Both have great jobs. Both have great income. They're good people, no record at all, and they're scared to do a normal everyday transaction of simply meeting up at a Safeway or a Costco or a I don't know, a Jewel Osco or Gristiti's, any fucking grocery store parking lot where they just meet up somewhere, and they go, hey, here's the car. Can I take some photos? Yeah, please. And all right, I'll get back to you about a price. Okay. And then they go off and like, I don't know, man. I don't know about that guy. And he's like, I don't know about that guy either. You know, it's like they both have that same dilemma and they're both going through that weird scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns out they're fine. The guy quotes him a price. He gets it. They get the title signed over. Everything's done. They shake hands and it's over and everything's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, I guess it wasn't that horrible scenario I built it up to be in my mind. I guess mm-hmm. the unknown sometimes is just boring. And then everyone's disappointed. And then they go and write a horror movie version where something bad happens. So that
yeah.
it's so that's entertaining and interesting.
Yeah, and like
you
Megan
see what I'm
is
saying?
Missing
because like, life is so boring,
yeah.
but people take these ordinary everyday scenarios, like Megan Is Missing, like don't meet people online,
mm-hmm.
and then they meet people online. And
it's
then
the most extreme version of
yes.
what could happen.
Exactly, because like, that will happen maybe once in a blue moon if people are really not careful. And if people are excessively evil at the same time.
Yeah. It has to be the perfect storm
it
of
does.
Circumstances.
In order, you
in
have
order
to be really dumb to fall for it or really dumb to try and trick people.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be dumb on both sides. And if the right dumb people meet and like let that happen, then it, and I'm not saying, it, oh, God, it's like victim blaming. I'm not blaming victims. I'm saying that people will break trust, and they and that's what horror movies are always based upon, is some sort of trust or some sort of thing being broken, whether it's trust. Yeah, trust to an extent. Mm-hmm. Horror movies are about trust being broken. Whoa, holy shit. We got deep on that one.
Like, the
it's about breaking trust. It doesn't matter. You trust the home you live in to be safe, and then it's fucking haunted.
Yeah.
And then that trust has been, they say, oh, it's fine. Your home's fine. You're okay. God, you're
really
just going crazy.
I really want to talk about the ending of Megan Is Missing and why it was effective.
Oh, no. Oh, you don't?
I do want to.
Oh, you do?
Can we talk about why I'm so effective?
Well, it's a horror movie thing, so go ahead.
Spoilers if you haven't seen Megan Is Missing.
If you haven't, just tune out for a bit. Don't go too long on it, because it's going to fuck my head up.
I won't. So, these two girls, Megan goes missing, and then her friend gets kidnapped by the same dude later. And
don't just meet up people online, guys.
No, don't meet up with people online.
Unless you got backup.
And the very end of the movie is the guy, the kidnapper, we never see his face in the entire thing.
Oh, that's interesting.
He's digging a hole, and the friend is begging him to stop digging the hole. And it's like
movies.
That for literally like 20 minutes. It's just that at the end of this film. And then it fades to black. And that's it.
What do you mean 20 minutes?
That's literally just 20 minutes of him, or not 20, but at least a good solid 10 minutes of this guy.
Even
just
10
digging.
Is excessive. I think it was less than that, but it felt longer to you because you're so dramatic.
Shut up.
You're so overly dramatic.
Probably. But it was so effective when most people, a lot of people who watch that movie would be like, this is so slow and I hate this. And why are we just watching a dude dig a hole? But I'm like,
why are you saying most
so
people? If it's effective, most people would be affected by it. Right? Technically speaking?
Well, no, because
or is it effective only to you?
That's
where I'm like, I'm on the fence about horror movies. Because like, for me, like, we saw It when it came out, and I mm-hmm. raved about what a great horror mm-hmm. movie was.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
I didn't even say, like,
it was amazing.
I wasn't even that scared. You sat next to me. All the scary moments, I wasn't even that scared by it.
No.
I hid.
I
was just enthralled by the special effects and the way it was shot and the color palette they were using and the era they were. I thought the cinematography was great. I just thought it was a beautifully shot movie. With like a really like, and the cast was like a surprise. I was like, wow, everyone's really talented. And I'm like, this is a really well made film.
Mm-hmm.
The moments where the horror was supposed to come out and be effective and scare you, I was just like, wow, they did a good job. I'm like, they're doing a good job. These are really well done effects. Like, it holds up to the It I remember mm-hmm. as a kid with fucking creepy ass Pennywise, Tim Curry obviously doing an amazing job. I'm like, wow, this really holds up to it. And I'm like, and even though I wasn't so much scared by it, I appreciated what, and other people were freaked out around me. Everyone else was like, oh my God.
Me included.
And you too. And I'm just sitting there going, this is really well done. I'm like, they're doing a good job freaking people out. Like, even I'm a little freaked, but I was just fascinated at how beautiful it looked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for a horror movie, it was just beautiful. It just, mm-hmm. even the creepiness, even the metamorphosizing, the changing, the mutating.
Mm-hmm.
That looked cool.
That looked
It was just
very
stylized.
Cool.
It was just a slick horror movie. I was like, this is cool as shit. But I wasn't... But that's the thing. Like, I watched The Shining, and that's slick and well shot, but it creeps me the fuck out.
Oh, yeah.
Because Stanley Kubrick was trying to unsettle you through the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
He just wanted everyone to be uncomfortable through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Hitchcock, with Psycho. You watch Psycho and you just feel creeped out. Like, you just sit there and, like, it's the way it's shot. It's the way everything's lit. Psycho just feels really awkward.
Yeah.
You're, like, sitting there like, this doesn't feel good.
No,
I don't feel
good.
I feel
good.
Unsettled just watching it.
It's the same with It Follows.
Yeah,
what
really.
We were talking about.
That's
like,
cool. I got to check it out.
You saw the trailer. A lot of It Follows is far away shots and close-up shots. There aren't that many in the middle,
no,
and something
I mean,
about that is very effective.
You've been bringing it up. I mean, the fact that you've been bringing it up almost every other show and just, like, saying, It Follows, and I'm like, really? Like, it must be good if you're raving about
Did
it
I
so
really
much.
Did I really bring it up that often?
You brought it up, like, a lot. Like, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying, like, you must want to watch it again. You
probably want to watch it again.
Yeah, we should watch it if it's that good. I want to see it. I mean, I've heard nothing but good things, so...
And if we watch it, we can review it.
Yeah, well, obviously we should. We could do a late-ass review, late-ass review.
It came out a year ago,
but
two
I mean,
years ago.
So, at the end of the day, you keep coming back to horror movies because of the lifestyle behind it? Is it like me with video games where like I like playing them, but I also like the lifestyle behind it, like the Let's Players, the art, the fan community, the excitement of it. Like, do you like that aspect of it more than the actual movies, or is it a mix of both? I'm sure it's a mix of both.
I just say that I love all things creepy, and I tend to compartmentalize my interests based on that. Like,
cool. Yeah.
There's some crossover, obviously, because I haunted places fascinate me, and I like ghost movies, I like paranormal movies, but
every once in a while,
it's different.
You know that you're right. I think everyone likes horror movies. They just like different flavors of horror movies at a time. Like you're like, you know, I don't want to see a slasher, but I'd like to see a ghost thing.
Yeah.
I want to see a ghost thing. Mm-hmm. No, I don't want to see a ghost thing. I kind of want to see a demon thing. You know, I kind of want to see I don't know, maybe a Jason.
Like the new Insidious movie.
Ooh, yeah, let's see something fucked up like that. It's like you just have different moods of horror movies at a time. Like, I may not want to sit down and watch The Grudge because I'm not in the mood for it, but if you pop in, like, I don't know, yeah, Insidious or something, like, which, again, and we should probably end on this because this is where we're going, like, now, because we kind of wrapped up our thoughts on the gore porn stuff and why people like horror movies. I guess we should end on where horror movies are going, which is the Marvel DC Star Wars route. We got anthology horror movies now, guys.
Yes,
and it started with Saw. It continued on with Hostel. Every Halloween, it was a new Saw movie. And now it's going to this new realm.
Insidious.
The Conjuring universe. That's a big one.
Which is incredible. The Conjuring movies are amazing.
I like the Conjuring movies now. I didn't really get it before, but Vanessa's like, no, watch these, you'll like it. And now I get, because you can see that they're going somewhere with like a subplot with one character and one evil character.
Yeah.
And you can see where they're going with another plot with other characters. So I'm enjoying that kind of a thing, and it's hyper stylized. I don't think a lot of the scares are very effective, but I feel like it's finding its voice. And I don't know. It's just The Conjuring, I feel like, is interesting. But what do you think about that? What do you think about them anthologizing it? That they're doing that.
I don't mind it as long as the sequels are good. And they're, you
as
know,
long as
they're,
it's good.
As long as it's good, you know, I don't care.
I would argue that about. I'm going to argue that for everything. I don't mind if Hollywood does anything as long as it's fucking good.
Yeah.
You can make it Aliens versus Jedi and Star Wars and have Ridley Scott direct it. As long as it's good, I don't give a shit.
And let me know if I'm wrong, because there have been some spinoffs of the Conjuring universe that James Wan wasn't attached to.
Right.
Like The Crooked Man and...
Oh, yeah. I heard... Yeah, well, I didn't hear... I heard bad things about it, but it sounded like a cool idea.
It was terrible.
Yeah, I heard
The
it was
Crooked
bad.
Man and Annabelle. The original Annabelle. We watched Annabelle Creation, and we liked that one.
It was okay. I enjoyed it. I didn't think it was... I mean, I won't watch it again, but that's the thing. These movies, some of them are good for one viewing.
Yeah.
That sucks.
But the original Annabelle prequel that they did and The Crooked Man, James Wan wasn't attached to,
bad. Well, of course. I mean, it's a different... They're trying to go off and do different things, but it's not really working, maybe.
Yeah, and the potential, because The
Crooked
speak
to it.
Man was so effective in The Conjuring 2.
Well, yeah, I remember seeing that.
I had such high hopes.
I thought they handled that really well in The Conjuring 2 with that character. I thought that was really cool, and it made me go, oh, well, that's an interesting spinoff. And you're like, yeah, but they fucked it up. And
they
I'm
did,
like,
they
oh, they did?
It up.
And I'm like, damn. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could say that now because they're past it. It's not like The Crooked Man has his own 3-picture deal.
They fucked it up.
They screwed it over. But maybe it should be screwed over. The real-life story it's based on is pretty fucked up. And that's the thing. I go back and forth on horror movies because, like, you see the Amityville Horror and you're like, that's based on real shit.
Yeah.
And then you see something like The Conjuring and all these other movies, and you're like, that's based on real shit. And I'm like, but is it
like
real
families went through this?
But did they really go through it? Because you see these interviews later on and it just seems like staged.
Well, yeah,
and
there's
like
always
they,
that
like as a publicity stunt. And I'm like, well, if it is, then that's fine, because then it's, but if it really happened, I'm like, are they making money at least? Like, I'm like, I can justify it. I can justify the victims being glorified and their pain being glorified if they turn a profit.
Yeah.
If they turn a profit and they make money off of it, I'm fine. But if they're not, and the stories are being told and their characters are being used, even if they're being changed drastically and they're not making any money off of it, and it was their life, their story that they lived, and someone's profiting off of it, I think they probably should get something out of it.
I'm pretty sure they are, because the family, the Perrone family from the first Conjuring. Because
those are horrifying events that are being like glorified for cinema and that audiences are paying to see and that a studio is making money off of. And if the victims aren't making anything off that, maybe they should. I'm not speaking to any movie specifically.
I don't know if they're making money off of it, but I do know that they gave permission for the movies to be made.
Okay.
And they were involved to an extent. They all signed off.
As long as they're all cool with it. I just think they should get a little slice of the pie.
And they've also been involved in like TV shows too, because obviously these are huge, huge paranormal cases.
How huge?
The biggest. Shut up.
Huge.
The biggest paranormal cases in the country, if not the world.
You're right. They are. They're world famous. They really are. People know about Amityville Horror all over the world. Even fucking Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, all over the world.
Where
Nirmal
was
so
going to be sent.
They've been involved. You know, the ghost hunters have gone and investigated the Amityville house and stuff like that. So they've been involved in stuff before the like big pictures were made.
I think it's funny because now they go back, like they send paranormal investigators these days back to those old locations, and they're like, well, we didn't find anything. It looks like the spirits moved on. It's like, fuck you. Like, come on. Yeah, because they got a movie deal. So they got all Hollywood, and they moved to L.A. Is that what happened? Like the Amityville ghost, like, well, we went to the Amityville house and they went Hollywood. They moved to L.A.
Well, I think
they got
a
fake suntan.
I think the Amityville house may have been exorcised.
They got bleached
sure.
teeth. They whitened their teeth. The ghosts. They look like douchebags. They turn into real Hollywood D-bags.
It reminds me of the episode of Friends when Ross whitens his teeth glow.
That's what the ghosts are doing. Like they got picked up by a studio.
Just glowing teeth.
They're all glam.
Nothing else.
They've gone Hollywood. They went Hollywood. They're all famous now. All these ghosts that have movies about them. Oh, I'll tell you, it's fucking. It used to be that ghosts used to just want to be ghosts. They didn't care about making money.
They just want to go boo.
Yeah, but now they're like, if I'm gonna go boo, you're gonna pay me, bitch. Uppity ghosts. How do you pay them? How do you pay a ghost?
With souls.
Whoa. That's fucked up. But you know, it's Hollywood. They run on souls.
They're dead and lonely. They need some friends.
Hey, they fit in Hollywood. They're dead and lonely. They need friends. That's the movie industry. Sorry we're talking shit, but you know, we're in love with the movie industry. We can't help it. And we're in love with horror to an extent. I mean, I've gleaned more of an understanding from you and your sort of your enthusiasm about it. You explaining it to me makes more sense than if we just sat down and we were just kind of like, no, just sit down and watch it, you'll like it, and I'll sit down and I'll watch
it, which is what I tried to do.
And I do, and I'll be like, I get why you like it, but the reasons why you like it are the reasons why I don't like it. Mm-hmm. And it's not because that means it's a good, and I said this before, like if I can sit down and watch a horror movie and be silent the whole time and not say anything, it's doing its job. I'm sitting there and I'm being enthralled with it. But if I'm sitting there and I'm talking the whole time and I'm ignoring it, it's probably because it's either fucking with me too much or it's shit. I know that's a weird thing to say, right? Like,
wait, you said the opposite, actually. You said if you could sit through a horror movie, it's not doing its job, but if you're just talking shit the whole time, it means you're trying to
get
past it.
Yeah, I can't remember which way I went with it, because there have been horror movies I've watched where I've been dead silent and it was really good, and I was shutting up because I'm like, this is fucked up, this is really good. Mm-hmm. And then there have been other times where it was so fucked up I had to talk. So, I don't know. I mean, I'll let you know if I'm not enjoying it, I guess. I'll just say something. I'll be like, look, I don't like this. And I've told you before. I think we've been watching horror movies. I'm like, I don't like this. I don't want to watch this. And you're like, no, just keep watching it. And I'm like, why? And you're like, it gets better.
Oh.
And I'm like, when? And then there's been times where you're like, let's stop watching it. And I go, but we can't. You want to watch it. I feel bad that we. And then at the end of it, I'm emotionally scarred. And I'm like, I'm emotionally fucked up by this movie. But I couldn't help it. I didn't want to stop your enjoyment of it. But what am I going to do? Go into the other room and wait for you to finish the movie?
Yeah.
That's a weird thing. It's a weird catch-22. It's like, I want to support your love of horror movies, but at the same time, they fuck with me too
much. I have made an executive decision that the next time we're watching a horror movie and Mike is bitching about it, I'm just going to turn it off and he has no say.
I think that might be the best thing, but I don't want, in the moment, I don't want to agree with you because I know you want to watch the movie. So I'll be saying, no, it's okay, but you'll be like, let's turn it off. Secretly, I'm agreeing with you, but I'm trying to be nice and say, look, we can watch it. I'll suck it up, but I'll be traumatized by the end. Yeah. I always am, and I don't know why that is. I guess growing up, and we can end on our first horror movie experience. The first time I remember being in a movie theater and being scared of a horror movie is something I don't remember, but my parents remember telling me about. And it turned out to be one of my favorite movies later on in life, Beetlejuice. I remember as a kid, I'm not saying it twice. Don't say it again. I can't deal with Michael Keaton. Actually, Beetlejuice, where's Michael Keaton? Where the fuck is Keaton? Beetlejuice. I want Keaton. Ah, fuck. I thought it would be real. I thought Michael Keaton would show up.
Beetlejuice.
Oh, showtime, bitch. Yeah. It's fun times. He proceeds to haunt us and turn us into weird carnival attractions.
Oh, God.
That's horrible. Or awesome. If it's Michael Keaton, I'll let him do anything. That sounds bad, but we're going to move forward. The first horror movie was Beetlejuice, and for me, and it wasn't a horror movie, but when you're a kid in the 80s,
yeah.
when you're four or five years old, and you're watching Beetlejuice in the movie theater with your parents, and Beetlejuice turned into the snake head monster, that freaked me out.
The sandworm?
My mom told me that I was watching the movie up until he turned into the snake with the human head, and I couldn't watch anymore. And I started crying, and I hid my head in her chest, and I would only watch the movie with, like, my eye peeking out. Oh. I was freaked out from that moment on. But then they kept saying, no, watch. You can watch now. It's okay. And I slowly, and I remember the rest of it was blurry because I had been shoving my head in her face, but I don't remember it too clearly. They tell me all the time, you were freaked out by it, but you loved it, but you were freaked out by it.
Oh.
And that was my first experience with watching a movie as a kid and being scared by it. Other than, I think, Ghostbusters on VHS when the librarian monster comes out.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, that fucked my head up as a kid, but it was a comedy. So then I learned to laugh about it later.
Yeah.
It was funny. Beetlejuice comedy as well, but those images, those are
creepy.
Those will fuck with your head as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned to sort of go with that. And then cut to my parents are watching Tales from the Crypt, and they're like, go to bed. Why? Go to bed. You can't watch this. And I remember the Crypt Keeper would pop up and laugh. I remember thinking,
John Cassier is great.
And I remember thinking, what, this isn't, I mean, how bad is this? It looks like schlocky. It looks like it's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's horror, but it looks kind of funny. I didn't see what the issue was. And
yeah.
I was just always kind of fascinated with horror, but at the same time, put off by it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's what I'm still at that point in my life where I'm fascinated by these movies. But they scare me still. Like, I remember as a kid seeing the horror movie section at the VHS rental store.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd see all of the horror movies. And they all had fucked up titles. Like, they had little, like, horror movie. Like there'd be a monster. There'd be blood.
Yeah.
Or there'd be, like, a knife. Or there'd be some eyeball. And you'd be like, what the fuck is this movie about? It looks horrifying. And I just remember being intimidated by the idea. The shit in my head was worse than what I could probably see in real life, because you know you know how to scare yourself better than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's a trick that people don't know about. We scare ourselves more than any movie could ever scare us.
It's true.
But the movies play on the fears that we already have.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a while to figure that out, but I'm still figuring it out because I still can't grasp it. But the cool thing is that I appreciate what they do. They're cautionary tales.
Mm-hmm.
They tell you to trust people, but don't be too trusting.
Mm-hmm.
They tell you to be careful, but don't be too careful.
Mm-hmm.
They
yeah.
tell you to find a balance, and you just got to find that balance. But they don't tell you where the balance is.
Yeah,
and that's
and
for that, that's
because
that's for you to decide. It's for you to decide.
By a knife wielding killer, don't do any of the shit that you see in horror movies.
Yeah, but I mean, like, again, my penultimate point was the balance is up for you to decide. The,
mm-hmm.
Like, the movie is going to put these parables for you to play with, but you are the one who's like, okay, do I want to go this way or that way with it? Do I want to be freaked out or do I have fun?
Yeah.
Do I want to enjoy it or do I not? Do I want to run? Do I want to fight? What do I want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. You find out the kind of person you are in a really horrifying experience.
Yeah.
So that's where I'll end my shit there. And like, where would you like to end your thoughts?
See,
on
it's funny,
as a fan,
you had actually a better first horror movie experience than I did. My first horror movie when I was like 7 was It.
Oh, it was the TV.
Tim Curry.
Yes, the TV movie, the
yep.
miniseries. That shit's awesome.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
fucked up.
That was
my
your
world.
First one. No wonder you're into clowns.
That was. I hate clowns.
No, you like clowns as far as being like monsters.
No, I hate clowns.
What are you talking about? Joker and Harley Quinn are clowns.
Ah, they're. they're Harlequins. It's different. What? The Harlequin and a jester, they're different. I'm not having this argument with you right now.
I'm a Batman nerd.
All right. So.
Anyway. There's some people said that the Joker was present in the circus when... never mind.
We're not doing this.
When Robin's parents were killed. Anyway, back to horror movies. Clowns, It. That was their first experience as a kid.
That was my first experience as a kid, followed by... not Mothman.
Right.
Not... Maybe it was.
Mothman with Richard Gere? The not one the where, like, the Mothman shows up and warns people about stuff, but he's really vague and no one knows what
Mothman
he means.
No, not the Mothman Prophecies.
But that movie, like, just to finish that, that's a weird one.
There was some giant insect in a sewer.
You know it's bullshit. This monster shows up. It's supposed to warn people about something. It's really vague. Doesn't tell them what he's warning them about. Doesn't say, hey, a bridge is going to collapse and people are going to die, even though he knows that's going to happen. He doesn't say it specifically. He just shows up, acts weird. They're like, what's going to happen? Weird shit happens, people die. And they're like, oh, I guess he was warning us. I don't think he was. I think he was just, like, watching it.
You're getting too caught. I was wrong against that.
It's a weird... The Mothman was, like, bullshit. It's like, that's a bullshit story. It's like, you mean a tragedy happened and a Mothman showed up and that's it? He didn't warn anyone? What a dick.
I just remember there was a giant bug. It might have been a mosquito, and then a blind kid he was using a spoon to hear the sound and get around.
That's weird.
And then he befriended
cool.
the giant
That's
mosquito.
That's cool, actually. Yeah.
But it was creepy and weird and messed with my head.
Befriended a giant mosquito. Anyway, Mothman's a weird thing. No one knows what the Mothman is. Not even the Mothman knows what he is. He's like, I don't know what I am. Am I a moth? Am I a man? Am I a hero? Am I a villain? I'm just gonna chill out in what is it? Where was he? Connecticut?
I don't know.
he hangs out. The Mothman hangs out in Connecticut, I think. It's weird. Maryland.
Yeah.
He's up in the... anyway. So you saw Mothman as a kid.
Not Mothman. It was something different. I can't remember.
But you saw something in that realm of horror movie after seeing It, the miniseries. And this is you as a kid discovering horror movies.
Yeah. And when I got a little bit older, I grew up watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up watching Angel. I don't know. I always loved it.
Right.
I just loved it. And for some reason, I loved being scared by those things.
Well, it helps. I think it makes sense why you like horror movies now and why you might like the episodic stuff. Because you grew up watching It as a episodic miniseries. So it was a horror movie, but it was like an hour-long horror movie every day or something or every week. Until you got to the end. So it was like a 8-hour-long, 9-hour-long horror movie.
Yeah.
So for you, seeing the Insidious series or
the Conjuring series,
that for you, that makes sense because you used to watch It like that growing up.
Yeah.
And I can see growing up watching that episodically, you would slowly over time get used to it, especially at a younger age. But we're breaking down the psychological aspects. So to me, that makes sense. For me, I always was told to avoid it. It wasn't okay. You shouldn't watch it. It's going to scare you. And then the idea of it scaring me was more scary than the actual content.
See, I was the exact
opposite.
It's
a mind fuck. I
was like,
mind fucked
myself. You're not allowed
on
to.
It.
My mom was like, you're not allowed to watch it. It's too scary. And I was like, oh, I want to watch it.
See, and I'm like, my parents are like, you can't watch this. It's scary. I'm like, okay, I won't watch it. Holy shit. I'm like, it must be fucking scary if you're telling me not to watch it.
There's a story that
I took their word for shit. I was like, okay.
There's a story that my sister and brother-in-law... Do we need to wrap it up?
Are we running too long? Possibly, yeah. We should probably wrap it up a bit. But yeah, we're just getting to our final thoughts.
Okay, well,
you're fine, yeah.
There's a story that my brother-in-law and my sister tell me about when we were on a road trip to Mexico, and I would always ask for scary stories when we were driving.
You're fucked up.
I always wanted to hear scary stories. And they're like, no, it's going to scare you.
Yeah.
And then they'd tell me the scary story, and then at night I'd crawl into bed with them because I couldn't
sleep. Well, yeah, no shit, you did, because you scared yourself, weirdo. Why do you like being scared? I don't get it. You like being scared and then being scared and then... And then I can't deal with it. I'm like, I don't like being scared. I get mad about it. I get mad when I get scared.
He does get mad when
he
gets scared.
Fuck this shit. No. Like, no. And they're like, but it's just a horror movie. I don't give a fuck. Like, and I get mad about it.
There are certain movies that I'm going to watch and I'm literally just going to be like, no, you have to stay in here. You watch something.
Man.
And I'm going to watch it in the living room.
I'm going to have to watch. I'll be watching Animaniacs on my laptop like a kid. And she'll be out there watching Conjuring.
Yeah.
And I'll have to, like, watch cartoons and play video games and be like, oh, I can't watch scary movies. They scare me. I have nightmares.
I'm a bitch.
I'm a bitch. I'm a big old bitch. Fuck you. I'm not. I love horror movies. I like, but I'm on the realm of horror movies that like also transcend the horror movie genre, which mm-hmm. is kind of cheating because then they're not really horror movies. But I guess like The Shining, I love that.
Silence of the Lambs,
Exorcist. I mean, if I was going to push people towards really good horror movies, I'd say you got to watch Poltergeist, man, because mm-hmm. that's going to fuck your shit up. Poltergeist, if yep. you've never seen it, is great. Spielberg directed that. A Spielberg directed horror movie is a good horror movie, and it's going to fuck your head up. Of course, Poltergeist is great, but Exorcist would be the penultimate. If you really want to get fucked up mm-hmm. and you want to get scared out of your balls, and I'm talking old school horror, like where it doesn't give a shit if it's PC or not, it's going to fuck with your head. Mm-hmm. Exorcist.
Yeah.
Shining. They don't care. These are movies made by auteur filmmakers who had no PC bullshit to hold them back. They yeah. were told, you can make whatever horror movie you want. Go ahead. And they went and they made it, and it was fucked up, and it scared you. And it also made you think about life in an abstract way, which, yeah. guess what? Maybe that's okay.
Which is why I still really want to see Mother, the new Darren Aronofsky
yeah,
film.
Yeah, I've heard Mother is kind of a comedy. I've heard it's a horror comedy. People have said it's... Aronofsky's doing like his version of a funny horror movie.
I don't know how I feel about that because they didn't market it that way. But
well, no,
see.
I've heard it was unofficially very funny because it had a good sense of humor about the subject matter, and
oh,
even
okay.
though it was dark and twisted. Well, it's Aronofsky. He's never really like one. He never takes one lane towards anything.
Yeah.
He always kind of switches lanes all the time mm-hmm. while he's telling a story, which I like that. I don't want it to get too pedantic. Speaking of pedantic. We've been wrapping up our thoughts big time on it. So I just threw out a bunch of different horror movies that I would like to throw at people. Are there any mm-hmm. you'd like to throw out before we head out?
Obviously, since we've been talking about it for the last 20 minutes, It Follows.
Yes, It
Check
in general.
yeah, no, It.
It and
The old
it
one
follows.
And the new one, the no, retelling, because that was amazing.
Both It's and even It Follows.
It Follows. Megan is Missing.
Right on.
Dread.
Dread. Yeah. Not,
Judge Dredd.
Not Carl Urban. Not
no,
that
it's
one. Or
Dredd,
and not,
and
not
it has
Sylvester Stallone either.
Jackson Rathbone in it.
Yeah.
So look for that.
Like
Dredd.
Dread, right?
Yes,
like
Dredd.
Like not Dredd. Not Judge Dredd.
That one was really effective.
Even though Judge Dredd's awesome. Both Judge Dredds are pretty good, but
yeah.
you should see Dredd in general, the horror movie Dredd. What about...
You haven't seen it, have you?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen Descent either, but I've heard that's good.
Oh, yes. The Descent is very good.
Oh, Babadook. I'd push people towards Babadook. It's original. It's so good.
Babadook. What else?
I think...
I mean, if you've been... John Carpenter's Vampires.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a different flavor, though.
And
it.
Even John Carpenter's Vampires Los Muertos with John Bon Jovi.
I was trying to
watch
say...
Watch that one.
I was trying to say The Thing... But it came out It. But it's not called The It. The It. It's The It.
Just all the ambiguous names. They.
It
them.
Was they. You know, honestly.
They was fucking creepy.
There are horror movies called The They. There's another horror movie called Them. There's another one called The Thing.
Yeah.
Another one called It. There should be one called And.
And.
It's And. What does it do?
And?
I don't know. It We don't know. The whole movie could just be, we don't know what it is, but we got to run from it.
Mm-hmm.
Never kills anyone. And? That's all. Just, and you are, and it just ends. And you finally see it.
God, just a movie full of cliffhangers.
It's just a movie
Terrifying.
Full of cliffhangers, baby. That's all it is. We're going to make gold. Gold records off of a movie.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
I think those are all the ones off the top. I mean, I could go about good horror movies forever.
Right.
Abattoir.
Oh,
Darren
yeah.
Lynn Bousman.
Not Avatar
not
with
Avatar.
James Cameron or the animated movie. With
Abattoir
with a B.
Darren Lynn Bousman directed it, who did Saw 2 and 4.
Yep. And he did Repo
and
Man.
And Repo the Genetic Opera.
Not Repo Man, that was Jude Law's movie. Never mind. Look, we're going off on all kinds of movies right now.
We are. We
gotta
go.
I think they get it. I was asking for a few here. You kind of went...
You know,
movie.
Well, you know how I get when we talk about horror
movies.
I know,
I did it too, but I tried to limit it, but I couldn't help myself. When you started bringing up movies, I wanted to bring up movies
too.
Yeah,
okay. So
everyone
you can't
does
get
that.
Mad at me.
But we're just throwing out our favorite versions. If you have any that you'd like to recommend, always leave it in the comments below.
Yes.
Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel, which is Simmer Mike, all caps, like I'm shouting at you. We didn't mention it at the top, but we're mentioning it now.
Yes.
We got movie reviews, trailer reactions, live streams. We got a cool live stream coming up. very soon.
Yeah.
We would tell you the time and day, but it doesn't matter because this is going to be after the fact regardless.
Yes.
Anytime we record these is after the fact. So just go check out any of the live streams. They'll be up there. Check out any of the reactions. We've got some horror movie trailer reactions up there as well.
Super exciting.
Really cool stuff. And we got more live streaming things, more reviews. And
that'll all be posted on the Facebook page and the Instagram page and
yes,
Twitterverse.
And how do they find the Instagram, by the
at
way?
At @team_awesomeinc. I will
you.
Also post it on my Twitter page, which is @creepysexynerdy.
Absolutely. And check us out, Stitcher Podcast Radio, iTunes as well. You can check us out through Podomatic, Podbay, Podbeam, other podcasting, any podcasting site. But Stitcher and iTunes are the best ways to reach us. Of course, website, yotina.podomatic.com. That's going to do it for this geek out. We haven't geeked out for a while, but if we're going to geek out about anything, horror movies after Christmas is a good mix.
Woohoo!
Right after the holidays, you just want to get, you want to see something fucked up. Isn't that all that wholesomeness,
right?
all that lovey-dovey wholesomeness? It's great for a month, but when it's over, time for some horror.
I'm still pissed we never watched Krampus because I kept forgetting about
it. Oh, yeah. Well, let's not.
We can't go on that tangent
horror.
Right now.
Christmas, whatever, fuck it. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We appreciate it. Keep it nerdy, if that's a thing. Do I say that?
Stay nerdy.
Is that what we say now?
Stay nerdy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That can be a thing.
Stay nerdy, if you want. No, do. We're telling you. This has been Team Awesome. Team Awesome.
We're at Team Awesome Inc. Wink, wink. Shut up. Yeah.